Well, good morning, church. Good morning, moms, and happy Mother's Day. All of you moms and grandmas, stand up. We want to just express our appreciation to you. So stand if you're a mom, a grandma. Welcome. We are glad you're here. For those of you who have joined us by the internet, we're glad you're here as well. And I got a special Mother's Day message for you today, the title of which is Moms, World Changers. Moms, dot, dot, world changers. And so I want to encourage you today because it's often not done. You see, when people talk about moms, it's more, well, what career are you going to go into? What college are you going to go into? And you know what? Listen, there is value, moms, and we want you to know that in just being a good, godly wife and raising good and godly children. And so I just want to encourage you today. So with that in mind, get out your Bibles and turn to several places. This is a topical message, so it's not expositional. And so we will be in several places in the scriptures, and you can kind of put your finger or bend over the page or something and mark them. Ephesians 5, verse 1, we'll just be in there very quickly. And then Romans 8, verses 31 through 39. And Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 7, I'll run that by you again. Ephesians 5, 1, Romans 8, and Hebrews 12. Just put that down and turn to those places, and then we'll go through the scriptures there and make application. So let's begin, though, as always, with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for today and just for the privilege, Lord, to gather and Lord, to just be those who are, recipients of your goodness and your grace, Lord, and how you have worked in our lives. And we're so thankful, Lord, for your word, that we can, Lord, in these crazy changing times where everything is up for grabs, Lord, morally and Lord, just the whole country, Lord, we see kind of things moving towards chaos increasingly. We are so grateful for the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who has given to us, Lord, guidance and direction as our creator, with plan and purpose for our lives here, Lord. You've placed us here for a purpose. And I pray today that as we examine that, Lord, and see, Lord, just your calling and Lord, just the work and what it is, Lord, to be a mom today, Lord, that you would encourage each mom that is here, that what she is doing is significant and important, and Lord, that there would be, by the time we leave today here, just a rekindling, Lord, of that passion, and Lord, the perception of the greatness and the beauty of being a godly woman, a godly mom, and so a godly grandma. So we commit this time to you, Lord. If there's any who have not yet given their lives to you, we pray that you would draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, being a mom, I'm not one, so I can only talk from observation and experience, but it's not easy. There was one mom who said, before I was married, I had three theories about raising children, but now I have three children and no theories. Yeah, I mean, moms, we can all relate to that. If you're a mom, you know that motherhood can be messy and at times frustrating and exhausting. And you know already that there are no foolproof formulas, right? I mean, kids raised in the same home, how do you explain that, you know, like three or four kids raised in the same home all turn out so differently? You see, it's not simply a formula that you can apply or something that you can click and say, here's how you do this, or here's how to be a mom and follow these 10 steps. And it just doesn't exist. Being a mom is not easy. But we are so thankful for you and the vital role that you play in our lives. I was fascinated as I recently came on to a YouTube video. It was done several years ago. It was an experiment conducted by the Washington Post involving a world-renowned violinist named Joshua Bell. The experiment went like this. It was a normal Friday. Joshua Bell went into the Washington, D.C. metro station. He was dressed in jeans and a long-sleeved T-shirt and a Washington Redskins baseball cap. He positioned himself near a trash can in this busy D.C. Subway station. He opened the small violin case, took out the violin. He threw a few dollars into the case to give people that were walking by the idea, and he began to play. And for the next 45 minutes, he played pieces by Mozart and Schubert, and people walked by and they hardly noticed him. They didn't give him the time of the day for the most part. They didn't notice that it was Joshua Bell. They also didn't notice that the violin that he was playing was a rare Stradivarius worth over $3 million. Little background to catch the significance of this little experiment. 3 days earlier, on January 9th, Joshua Bell had sold out the Boston Symphony Hall with ordinary seats going for $100. But on January 12th, here he is, not long after, playing in the subway for 45 minutes, the total take in his violin case after it was over, $32. The purpose of this experiment by the Washington Post is described like this. It was an experiment in context, perception, and priorities, as well as an unblinking assessment of public taste. In a trivial setting, at an inconvenient time, the question, would beauty transcend and arrest anybody's attention? The result, sadly, people walked right by and didn't even notice. You can pull down the video and watch it if you Google it. Just Google it, Joshua Bell at subway station, and it shows the thing. And I'm watching that, and I thought, how like motherhood is that many times? Moms sacrificing, moms doing great things, and just being so taken for granted, just day in and day out. That's what motherhood is, isn't it? It takes place in just a trivial setting, and it's composed of the everyday stuff that we all too often take for granted. Walking right by, never realizing that we have been in the presence of greatness, never expressing or stopping to say thanks and pay attention to the beauty and the ministry that moms are engaged in daily. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 1, you see Paul writing says to the church in Ephesus, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children. What I want to suggest to you moms this morning is when you are doing your thing, when you are raising your children and doing all that being a mom entails, you are often imitating God in some amazing and wonderful ways that tragically are taken for granted. And so I want to express this morning our appreciation for all the things that you do and have taught us. call attention to the significance, the importance of what you do daily as a mom. We've learned a lot of things from you. What are some of those things? Well, you taught us about anticipation. How'd you do that? I heard it many times from my mom because I wasn't such a great kid. He says, she would say to me, "You just wait until your father gets home." You taught us about foresight. I don't know why it is, but when you're little, your mom, you know, would say, "Did you put on clean underwear? What if you get in an accident?" Probably won't be clean anymore, but anyhow. You taught us also about genetics. My mom would say this to me frequently, "You're just like your father." You taught us about stamina. You sit there till all your spinach is finished and you eat every bit of it on that plate. You taught us about the circle of life. When you said, "I brought you into this world, I can take you out of this world." You taught us about prayer. You better pray that stain comes out of that new shirt I just brought you. You see, you know, things have really changed a lot over the years. When I was a kid, moms and dads, discipline was a little harsher than it is today. Nowadays, you know, I see a lot of parents giving children timeouts, and of course, many, to the contradiction of God's word, have said no more spankings. That's just totally out, and they'll say, "You go over and sit down and think about what you've done. You're on timeout." You know what? In my day, my mom would say, you're going to get a spanking and you won't be able to sit down. You see, it was a little different in that day. But moms, listen, you are valued and you are appreciated because you've helped us to understand, as a godly mom, one who seeks the Lord, just a little bit clearer who God is and what God is like. How have you done that? Well, godly moms reflect God's unconditional love. I can think of no one who has had to make more sacrifice on planet Earth very frequently than you moms have, you see. It's a story of an elderly woman who walked into a church one day, and she was greeted in the lobby by a friendly usher who said to her, "Where would you like to sit?" And she said, "Well, I'd like to sit in the front row, please." And the usher said, "Well, you may not want to do that. The pastor can be really boring." To which this elderly mom replied, "Do you know who I am?" And he said, "No." She said, "Well, I'm the pastor's mom." To which the usher replied, "Do you know who I am?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Good," and walked off. Moms, you have this wonderful way, and I've seen it many times, where this that unconditional love. For example, if you go to any school event, and I've been to many over the years with my own children and now with my grandchildren, you know what? Predominantly I see, I mean, there's a few exceptions, but predominantly there I see the children are putting on the little program or getting some award. Guess who's there with their camera and their phone that they're videoing? Guess who it is? Mom. And she's just so proud, even if their child doesn't get an award and are just standing there, if they're not performing, that the fact that they're just there, "Oh, there's my little son, my little daughter," and they're so excited. They just want to be there and support and encourage and just because they love their child. The fact that they were invited, they just show up, you see. That is so important when a child is struggling in life. And listen, struggles don't have an age limit, you know. I mean, once they get those little ones into school, I mean, they face a lot of criticism and harassment many times. And mom, you're there just to love them and support them. I read a story about someone that you all know. His name is Ben. He grew up in an inner city in Detroit and Boston. His parents were divorced when he was 8 years old, and he and his brother were raised by his mother, who was married at 13 years old. Her son Ben was such a poor student that his fifth grade classmates named him Dummy. He got in a fight once over whether he was just the dumbest kid in the class or the dumbest person in the whole world. The words and the harassment, the bullying, if you would, of his classmates continued to beat him down and harass him. He became a young boy who was totally unmotivated and failing miserably in school. He developed a terrible temper. It looked like the deck was stacked against this young man. But fortunately for Ben, there was somebody who was giving him a very different message. It was his mother. And even though she only had a third grade education, she continued to tell her son that he was smart. She continued to tell him that he had potential and could be a success, and not to listen to those bullies and those who would say otherwise. And somehow she motivated Ben to spend the afternoons in the library. She convinced him to write 2 book reports every week and turn them into her. Ben's mother repeatedly told her sons that they could do anything anybody else could do and do it better if they simply worked hard at it. She always had faith in them. She never accepted excuses from them, and she made none for herself and didn't accept any from them, and she said it was for their own good. Well, her unconditional love and encouragement started to have an impact on Ben, and by the 7th grade, he was at the top of his class. When he graduated from high school, he got a scholarship to Yale. He went on to medical school at the University of Michigan, and he first gained worldwide recognition in 1987 when he became the first surgeon to ever successfully separate Siamese twins who were joined at the back of the head. Ben, Dr. Ben Carson, served as professor at Johns Hopkins Medical School and also director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. He has become world famous for his skill in performing complicated surgery on children with brain and spinal cord injuries. And of course, we all know his position given to him, you see, on the President's Council eventually. God used this mom to encourage this guy who his classmates called dumb. Not bad for somebody they called dumb to end up in his position. Years later, somebody asked him why his mother still lived with him, even after he was married and had a family of his own. And he said simply, "You don't understand. If it weren't for that woman, I wouldn't be living here. She earned this," showing me what love and encouragement looks like. You see, it's that model of God's love that you ladies often, you see, are involved in. And we are so appreciative of that. In Romans 8, in verse 31, we have one of the most radical statements when it comes to God's unconditional love. Listen to these words and reflect on the love that God has for you. We read in verse 31, "What shall we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen?" Let the bullies talk, right? It says, it's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, that's Jesus Christ, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Perhaps some of you didn't experience really unconditional love in the home where you grew up. Listen, the fact is, none of us grew up in a perfect home. We always hear about, well, this family is dysfunctional. We all have a dysfunction. Bible calls it sinful. There's no perfect home, but we do have a perfect Father who loves us. And God offers that love to us, and it's one that is unconditional, and we are accepted by him and loved by him, not because of any earning or goodness in and of ourselves, but because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You see, the good thing is whenever moms, you fail, whenever dads, we fail to love unconditionally as God loves us, we are invited, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, to come boldly before his throne to find grace to help, to meet the need. And then those times where the enemy would condemn us and would put in front of us consistently our failures, we have a heavenly Father who says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he's always there for us, and he's always there to care for us. And I'm thankful for that. And moms, we're thankful for the way that you seek and pursue to model that kind of love and encouragement. So you reflect God's unconditional love. You also, moms, frequently, as godly moms, reflect God's unapologetic discipline. And every child needs discipline, correction, and direction. And you are on hand and there to take those steps. I read a story about George Bush. Laura, his wife, tells a story about her and her husband, George Jr., visiting the Bush's parents at home in Texas. She said that George and her husband woke up at 6 a.m., George Sr., and like usual, he went down to get a cup of coffee, George Jr. and George Sr. together. George Jr. sat down on the sofa, and he put his feet up on the coffee table. All of a sudden, Barbara, his mother, said, "Son, put your feet down." And George Sr. said, "For goodness sake, Barbara, he's the president of the United States." And Barbara, like a typical mom, said, "I don't care. I don't want his feet on my coffee table." And of course, the president took his feet off the table. And Laura summarized the whole scene like this: even presidents have to listen to their moms. If you're a mom, you, by definition, are involved in disciplining and giving to your children direction. And I don't just mean reprimanding them. It includes that direction, the training and guidance of your children. Everything from showing them how to keep their room clean to teaching them how to cut pieces of meat and how to tie their shoes and how to make sure they get their homework done. That discipline, that direction, in the absence of a dad, falls upon you. You see, and we are thankful for that discipline and direction, although frequently we don't express our appreciation for it. In fact, sometimes when you correct us and direct us, especially when we get into the teenage years, we can go, we can get rebellious. "Oh, Mom, come on, Mom, come on." And you know what? It grates on us, and we can have an attitude and walk away when you correct us or say no to us. And "Well, you don't trust me. You don't love me. If you loved me, you'd let me do this or do that. Why don't you trust me?" But you know what? When we look back over our lives and see the correction and the direction that you brought frequently, we recognize, you know what? That was the right thing. At the time, I didn't appreciate it. At the time, I was in rebellion. But now I understand, you see, your love and appreciate the correction. It can be lonely at times when you have to bring correction. It can be lonely at times when you see the frustration and you don't like to see your child suffer through the homework or go through the broken heart or experience the struggle that they're having with other people and maybe relating to them, and you would spare them, you see. But you know the importance, like Ben's mom did, of discipline and directing them, and you just stay in there, you just hang in there, you don't give up. Because the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 5 says, "And have you forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My sons, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons." You see, sometimes you have to endure that hardship of making that correction that is not easy, and you'd rather let them go have fun, you see, but you know the importance of disciplining them and training them. I think it's crucial for us to understand, and as I've said many times, when we're a child, a teenager, we don't understand that it's not easy to, you know, be in that position as one who would not just let children have fun all the time and have to deal with the hardship, the difficulty of discipline. But we're reminded here not to give up, because God does the same thing. And listen, we need to recognize that enduring hardship is something that God has called us to do. It's those difficult times. It's those times where I deny myself, you see, that's where the growth takes place frequently, doesn't it? I mean, that's just reality. I think of my own life. You know what? The times that I have grown the most are not when everything's been easy and comfortable. It's when the wheels have fallen off and things are tough and you go through hard times. Jesus reminded us in the Word. He says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. There's going to be hardships. You're going to face difficulty. You're going to be taken through things that are not of your choosing, you see, that are not the way that you hope they would be. But as you do so and hang in there and be obedient and seek me and deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me, guess what? Maturity comes. Growth comes. You see, that's what God has called us to. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The trouble that you're going through, the difficulty that you're experiencing, the hardship that you're dealing with presently will not last if you do it rightly and recognize the priority of that. You will grow through it rather than just go through it. And the results are maturity, even though it's not fun presently. Mom, hang in there. Don't quit correcting. Don't quit directing. Don't quit encouraging and hold the line that you might encourage obedience and submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So you reflect that unapologetic discipline. You show and reflect God's unconditional love. And then thirdly and finally, you reflect God's unselfish sacrifice. Moms, you make so many sacrifices. Sacrifice sleep. You sacrifice convenience. Bringing a child into this world. You sacrifice your body in many ways. But more than anything else, once that child is born, guess what? You sacrifice your independence. The moment you become a mom, guess what? You become responsible for another life. And I've got to tell you, man, there's times where I have watched my wife. There's times that I look back on my mom and I see the sacrifices. I see the beauty. I get a glimpse into greatness when I've observed and seen my wife sitting, you know, with my sons on the bedroom floor and cleaning up and teaching them to hang up their clothes, to put away their clothes, to put away their toys when they're done. I've seen her taking and hauling off the children to Target with the little list for the science project that they have, or you know, or the some project that they're doing for school, and she buys all the things. I've seen her spending that time working with them and watching and encouraging them. I've seen her trying to get the tangles out of the hair of my daughter, who is there just, oh, mommy, stop, you know, and, oh, that hurts, oh, that hurts. I mean, I've seen that. I didn't realize it many times at the time, the beauty and the sacrifice of what I see there. Sadly, today in our society, increasingly, and I think it's horrible, there's a belittling of motherhood. The attitude of the daughter when asked, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And if she says, you know what? I don't really have a career or an occupation that I'm looking for other than I'd love to be a godly woman, a godly wife, and a godly mom. Oh. Yeah, but I mean, what are you really? I mean, that's nothing. I mean, okay, so what do you really want to be? What do you want to do for a career? And they take motherhood and being a godly mom and a godly wife as something that, well, that's stupid, or Yeah. Well, forget that. Why don't you do something significant and important? Let me tell you, moms, listen, there is nothing more important than changing the world. And that happens one heartbeat, one step at a time. Raising those children, building into them through your behavior and example what a godly woman looks like, what a godly mom is, what a godly man is, you see. You are modeling to them who God is. And don't ever belittle that. Don't ever look at that as something that is not very valuable or not to be esteemed and prized. It, in fact, is the calling of God on moms. That doesn't mean you can't work, but man, the priority, and husbands and fathers, you need to remember this. The priority, you see, if you have children, is to raise a godly family, to impact those children for the kingdom of God and His glory, that they might see the unconditional love, that there might be that a guiding and directing in the home. And they see that unselfish sacrifice and service. You see, like Joshua Bell playing his violin as a master violinist there in Washington, D.C. metro station. People too busy just passing by, not paying any attention, not taking a moment to express their appreciation, to stand and observe and listen to the beauty and the greatness of one who sacrificed and plays beautifully and skillfully. That didn't just happen out of nowhere, you see. Hours were devoted that were ignored and devalued because we're just too busy. God help us. And I'm talking now to you who aren't moms, who are daughters and who are sons and fathers, that we would be those who express, not simply today, one day of the year, our appreciation for moms, but that we would have an ongoing expression of that appreciation as we observe greatness in action in the daily chores and the daily routines that moms deal with and go through, that they may never feel ignored and depreciated in any capacity in ironing, doing laundry, fixing meals. May there be a flow, an expression of appreciation for all that they do. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility considers others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not on your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Sounds like a mom, doesn't it? In verse 5 of that same chapter of Philippians, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. God didn't sit in heaven and just say, follow my commandments. He came down from heaven and sacrificed everything and made himself nothing, giving up the glory and the beauty of heaven, and traded it for the pain and the hunger and betrayal and torture, ultimately dying on that cross a most undignified and painful death that a person can die. Moms, you are in that place where many of you have died to yourself, and you put your children and you put others before yourself in faithful service to the Lord. And know this today, God will not forget your labor of love. Others may not give you the appreciation and attention that you deserve. We may pass by and forget, but know this, God never forgets. He pays attention to every glass of water you've ever given to your child, to every little piece of laundry that you have done, and every item of clothing that you have folded with an attitude of love out of concern and a desire to see your family to be a godly family and to see the beauty and the glory of God and to prosper them and bless them. God is very attentive. Never forget that. And listen, don't quit and don't listen to the lies of this world that put motherhood down as some kind of a second-rate occupation. You recognize the calling of God and you put and make that the priority, and you will be blessed and your family will be blessed as a result. We love you. We appreciate you. Moms, we are thankful for you. And for those of you younger ladies, don't you listen to the world that would draw you away from God's calling in your life. Be godly moms, because guess what? It changes the world. It may not look like much when you're just dealing with it and in the middle of it, much like Ben's mom, but you stay faithful and hang in there and see what God will do to further his kingdom, to bring blessing to you and bring honor to him in glory. And guess what? You have an eternal reward. If nobody else notices, he does. And when you're struggling, don't quit. God is for you. Who can be against you? Many people may come, but Jesus stands for you. Hang in there. So I want to pray, and then after we pray, I've asked Blake to learn a special song for you moms that hopefully will encourage you and remind you of the significance of what you are called to and what you do. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the work and the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, I pray for the moms in here, Lord. I don't know all that they're experiencing and all that they're going through, but Lord, I'm so thankful for them. I'm thankful for my mom and the years, Lord, that she invested in my life. I'm thankful for my wife and just what I've seen and the impact that she has had on our children, Lord, on our family, and how she continues to have that servant's heart and to minister to them faithfully. I'm thankful, Lord, for what I'm seeing in my daughters and how they have taken from their mom and continued to model that. And Lord, for all the ladies, the moms in here, Lord, who have raised their children and beyond just ministering to their children, Lord, they're ministering here to the children in the body, even some right now, as we sit here over in children's ministry. Just loving on those children, encouraging them, and showing them the love of Jesus, that unconditional love, Lord, and do so regularly. Thank you, Lord, for all the ladies and the moms that serve here, Lord, in that capacity. And I pray, Lord, that they would continue, Lord, to be reminded by us increasingly, but Lord, that they would be those who remember, Lord, that they're doing this for the one who died on the cross for them, and in so doing, fulfilling your plan and purpose for them. And Lord, that not only brings great blessing presently, but will result in beauty eternally. So Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.